I feel like that passage in Genesis is one of those that keeps people from reading their Bibles. It's like, you know, it had ceased to be with her in the manner of women. Sarah couldn't have a kid, all right? That's what that means, okay? The Lord dealt with her as he had promised. She got pregnant. Okay, we're good. We got the story down. Bible code has been cracked. Anyway, we've just finished celebrating this holiday that's all about gratitude and contentment, right? Thanksgiving. We count our blessings, and we are reminded that even though we get anxious and wrapped up in all of the things we need, that God has given us so much. And we hear this calling to be content with what we have and what we've been given. And now we enter this season of waiting. The season where we acknowledge that there is more to come and that there is indeed more that we need. It's kind of an odd contrast as I was thinking about it this week, that we are now in this time of Advent where instead, it's not that we put away looking at our blessings and giving God thanks by any means, but we do acknowledge this reality that we are a people who are waiting, who look at the world and look at the scriptures, and we know that all is not as it should be. Whether that's at our lives are not as they should be. The world and all the brokenness and suffering and pain, we know the world is not as it should be. And I think this is kind of the challenge of the Christian life, in a sense, is that we are called to find gratitude and contentment even as our eyes have been opened to acknowledge that our lives and the world are far from God's dream. And this is what in theology we call the already not yet of the Christian life. We've talked about this before. Can you all say that with me? Already not yet? Ready? Here we go. Already not yet. And that's where we are in Advent. Because again, we're not waiting for Christmas. Jesus has already been born. It's not like we kind of put on blinders for a few weeks and pretend that Jesus hasn't come. He has. And yet, and so we celebrate that with gratitude and joy. And yet, the kingdom of God and all of the promises of God, we don't see them and experience them in their fullness. And so it brings to us then the question, if this is a season of waiting, what are we waiting for? We've all known the experience of waiting, but what is it that we as Christians specifically are waiting for? And then maybe other questions come up. Why do we have to wait? And what do we do while we wait? And those seem like very simple questions, and yet books and books and essays and books of the Bible, for that matter, have been written on those questions. What are we waiting for? Why do we have to wait? And what do we do while we wait? The season of Advent reminds us that waiting and faith go hand in hand. You might even say that faith is waiting on the Lord. And we see this in three stories from the Old Testament, our ancestors in faith. The first we read this morning, the story of Abraham and Sarah. You remember, Abraham receives the call of God in Genesis 12 and a promise. He says, I'm going to make a great nation of you. And even on its face, when Abraham receives this promise, it seems strange, because how are you going to make a great nation of me when I don't even have any kids? He says, through your family, through your descendants, all of the nations on earth will be blessed. And it's already a strange promise, because Abraham is already, I got to be careful here. He's 75 years old, okay? I'm not going to say he was old, but he was generally past childbearing and making age, okay? And then in Genesis 15, God comes back and he gives Abraham this promise. He says, your descendants will be as many as the stars in the sky. Abraham still is like, how is this going to happen? And so Abraham and Sarah wait. And we miss this sometimes because, you know, obviously the Bible doesn't give us every detail of every person's life, or we really wouldn't read it, right? It gives us the highlights. But they wait for 11 years. And when you're waiting for a kid and you're already 75, 11 years sounds kind of like an eternity, right? And finally, after 11 years, and sometimes we get are hard on Abraham, but we can understand this maybe if we consider the timeline here. Abraham and Sarah are like, all right, well, this obviously isn't happening, so God obviously wants us to do something. And so Sarah says, here, take my slave girl Hagar. She's of childbearing age, and see what happens. And they have a son named Ishmael. And God comes back and says, no, 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 no. That wasn't what I had in mind. I said, you and Sarah will have a child, and your descendants. And they're like, golly, guess how long they have to wait after this? 15 more years. 15 more years before Sarah laughs again at the birth of her son Isaac, and God's promise begins to be fulfilled to them. If you're doing the math, that's 25, 26 years since God made that promise to when Isaac is born. We could also look at the story of Joseph. If you remember Joseph, he was his father's favorite son, and when he was a young boy, he had this dream that he would one day, all of his family would one day bow to him. And obviously his brothers don't like that. And so if you remember the story, they sell him as a slave to Egypt, and he works his way up in Egypt. And it seems his dream is going to be coming true again until he's falsely accused by his master's wife and he ends up in jail again. And he's waiting and waiting. What about these dreams? What about these promises? What about that promise that through Abraham's descendants, Abraham's family, all the world will be blessed? Well, he's sitting in prison. And finally, of course, the Pharaoh has a dream and calls Joseph out, and Joseph tells him that there will be 7 years of prosperity and 7 years of famine, and Joseph helps to gather and ration the resources, and he saves. God, through Joseph, blesses the entire nation of Egypt. But not directly, after all of those years of waiting. Or King David. David was a shepherd boy, of course, and when he was probably 10 to 13, a young boy, the prophet Samuel comes and anoints him and says, you are God's chosen king of Israel. And then, a few years later, David defeats Goliath, and it seems like, okay, this is it. But then, David spends 7 years running from King Saul, who's jealous of him, before he's finally anointed king, probably 15 to 20 years. Coronated king, 15 to 20 years after he's anointed as king. All of those years of waiting can get lost as we read the highlights of the biblical story. But in these characters specifically, the Bible gives us a number of chapters on them, sometimes a whole books on them. And what we see is that as they try to live in faith, it isn't just like God says, I'm going to do this for you, and I say, okay, and then bam, pow, in a puff of smoke, magically, the promise is fulfilled. Faith is a process of grief and joy, and certainly lots of mundane days of just kind of getting through life, as we all know that feeling. For these characters, faith was waiting. And so Advent, the season of Advent, doesn't make us wait. It brings out in the open and allows us to embrace what we're already doing as we seek to live by faith. What Advent does do is give direction to our waiting. It helps us to answer the question, what are we waiting for? And it gives us instruction for our waiting. How do we wait? What does it mean to wait in faith? And so what is that direction? Very simply, God's people wait on God's promises. Again, another very simple statement, but it isn't easy. Because many of us are really waiting for things that God hasn't promised. Whether passively, just waiting for something to happen, or aggressively, I'm going to make it happen myself, like Abraham and Sarah and Hagar. But many of us, our waiting is shaped by our own selfish desires. Many of us are waiting for things that we just kind of want. Many of us, our waiting is shaped by the cultural expectations around us. This is what your life should be like. This is what you should have. This is where you should be at this point in your life. And we're waiting for that to happen because other people tell us that that's what our life should be. But Advent allows us to tap into a deeper waiting. An article I read this week called it longing. And this waiting comes from the fact that God's image is imprinted on our hearts and yearns to be set free and to be expressed in its fullness and for the world to be everything that God created and intended it to be. And so when we look at the stories of David and Joseph and Abraham and Sarah, they were waiting specifically for God to fulfill his promise to them. And what was God's promise? That he would bless the world through them. They were waiting on God to bless the world through their lives. And so what are we waiting for? God to fulfill his promise to bring about the kingdom of earth as it is in heaven. What we just prayed a few minutes ago. That's what we're waiting for. Jesus was fulfilling God's promise to Abraham to bless all of the nations through his descendants. Jesus was fulfilling God's purpose for Adam. Human beings who live in loving communion with our Creator and with one another and with the creation itself. And this waiting isn't just an event, poof, that will happen. It is a process. As Christ comes more and more alive in our hearts and in our lives. So I encourage you during Advent to dig down beyond the momentary wishes of an easier or more comfortable life. Dig deep into the longing of that great promise and purpose of God to be fulfilled in you and through you. And so how do we wait? Just a couple of quick instructions for this Advent season. One is to let yourself wait. Just let yourself wait. Sometimes when we step into a dark room, most of the time when we step into a dark room, we scramble for the light switch. We want that light so we can see immediately. And Advent says, just sit in the dark for a moment. Because the second we flip on that switch, it makes it harder for us to see the little glimmer of God's light. That is the birth of Christ, the presence of Christ in this world. And so in your 3G plan, I think we did this last year too, but I'm encouraging you to sit for 10 minutes, a couple times a week, sit for 10 minutes in just darkness. Just allow yourself to wait. And then light a candle and contemplate the presence of God that meets us in our waiting, in this world that is not yet as it should be. So let yourself wait. Distinguish between your wishes and God's promises. What am I waiting for that I just kind of want to happen, or that the culture says this is what your life should be? And what has God truly promised you and us? You might notice where you get frustrated, where you feel impatient, where you feel judgmental of others or judgmental of yourself. A lot of times that gives us a glimpse into what we're really waiting for. And then dig deep into God's promises. What has God said? What does the life of Jesus show us is the destiny for this world and for our lives? And then finally, however this looks, seek to embrace the not yet part of your life and this world as you gain strength from the already of what God has done through Jesus Christ. I'm going to say that again. Seek to embrace the not yet realities of this world as you gain strength from the already of what God has done and is doing through Jesus Christ. Do we think we can do that this Advent? To embrace the reality of our waiting. To live faithfully in this in-between, already, not yet. That's what it is, to live in the hope of God's promises. Let's pray. God of all hope, we pray that you would give us the strength and the courage to wait in faith. Open our minds, enlighten in us your promises and our heart's deepest longings, and show us what it means to wait faithfully in light of who Jesus is and what he has done and what he has promised. We pray it all in his name. Amen.